Can psychological safety be actionable, or is it simply a buzzword we use to try to make people feel better?
A lot of leaders, especially executive leaders, are now seeing this isn't something you can dismiss. This is not only a requirement, but it's a vital part of being able to deliver faster and better.
In this episode of Unlocking Agile, we sit down at Agile 2022 in Nashville to talk to Tara Scott about how companies can make psychological safety real and not just lip service.
Unlocking Agile is brought to you by Scrum, Inc. The world of work is changing. We pioneered that change. From Fortune 100 companies to startups, nonprofit organizations, and government agencies, Scrum, Inc.'s team of consultants, trainers, and coaches partner with you to create self-sustaining Agile organizations. Training that empowers, transformations that work. Contact us at scruminc.com.
I would like to welcome everybody to the latest episode of Unlocking Agile, brought to you by Scrum, Inc. I am Bobby Woods, your host, and today we're coming to you from the Agile Education booth at Agile 2022 in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're happy to have with us today Tara Scott, who is an organizational behavior and product coach with Industrial Logic. Tara, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to be here in Nashville at Agile 2022, being together for the first time in a couple of years.
Yes, it is kind of surreal.
It is surreal.
Yep.
It is surreal. And I'm thankful to have you here as a speaker in the conference as well. And just kind of tell us about what the topic you're speaking on, because that's
sure.
What brought you in.
Absolutely. So actually, I did my talk yesterday, but I'm going to be flitting around for the rest of the week on everyday actionable psychological safety. So kind of going beyond the buzzword and what can we actually do to implement and practice safety just like we practice anything else within agility.
No, that's a really, really popular topic right now because there are so many organizations as they're trying to apply Agile concepts, they don't feel safe to change.
Right.
And they don't feel safe to speak up when change is needed. So when it comes to your session that you did, what were some of the real key challenges that companies are coming across in trying to apply organizational safety?
Yeah. Well, it was really fascinating to see how, and maybe it's because we're in person for the first time in a few years,
sure,
but
sure.
People were incredibly passionate about the topic. And I mean, I'm such a psych safety nerd. I was like thrilled to see it. And it's something I obviously really believe in. But I think the biggest challenge right now is being able to not only motivate other people within teams to find their voice, kind of speak up more, mm-hmm. but have it be more of a team dynamic where there's give and take, there's a shared understanding. Actually, an individual came up to me after the talk and said, you know, my team doesn't really know how to bring in new people and have them feel welcome. How do we do that sort of thing? So there were a lot of conversations about like how to build a space that isn't just safe, but it's more of an invitation than, you know, just like slapping a label on something and saying, okay, now you're part of this group, you follow our rules.
Right.
Like we create the rules together. And I'm glad to see that a lot of leaders, especially executive leaders, are now seeing this isn't something you can dismiss. This is not only a requirement, but it's a vital part of being able to deliver faster and better.
So let's dive into that a little bit.
Yeah.
So a number of years ago, I wrote a blog on how culture within an Agile organization actually increases agility,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was back in, I don't know, 2014 or 2013, but it's interesting because now I see so much related to how that sense of belonging within a team and the safety there, it does exactly what you're talking about, that enhancing of the performance within
yeah.
a team and organization. So, if you mind just diving into that topic a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what leaders have been seeing is that they keep adding, you know, body counts to things and wanting to get more stuff done faster. And I think logically we all know that's probably not going to work. But there are organizations I still meet with to do assessments at Industrial Logic or to coach, and I still get resistance from certain individuals who say, you know, we don't have time to invest in something like psychological safety. And Amy Edmondson herself, who pioneered the term, she has said, like, I wish that I could change what it's called, because psychological safety itself doesn't sell, because executives don't understand why it's so vital for teams. And so a lot of it has been like playing with language around what do you think would be best for your teams to create a more innovative space, to create something where you're not just hiring someone for what shows up on a resume, you're hiring them to do work that's going to blow the minds of other people in like the best possible way. And the only way you're going to get that is if you have honest conversations. So for me, it's been a lot about finding ways to measure how people are performing after they are starting to practice psychological safety.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you do that? How do you measure that?
Yeah.
Because you have to have a baseline somewhere.
You do.
Right?
How
bad was it?
Right. Before, and where is it bad? Right.
Yeah. Where is it bad?
Yeah.
And then ultimately,
right.
What does it look like afterwards? How do you do that?
So a few years ago, I discovered the Fearless Practitioner Program, which was co-founded by Amy Edmondson. They're doing a limited amount of internal and external practitioners who they certify. I had to fight my way to get a seat to the external practitioners table, but I got in and got certified because I really wanted to have a tool that would show people, because like most other people in this field, I'm a lover of data too, so that we can actually show that it is not just an anecdotal thing. Exactly. Like, there's actual data behind this, and as much as you can throw, you know, Project Aristotle, Google's whole research about like why psychological safety is important for high performing teams, for some reason it still doesn't stick. And so I thought, here's a way where we can actually show leaders that not only does this work matter, but look at how things improve over time. So when I go into organizations, I measure the team in four different areas, and it's only 7 questions in the survey that they fill out. It takes 5 minutes.
Nice. Yeah. Engage people.
Yep. It's a very short amount of time. I have conversations with both the leader about my expectations of them coming in curious and not overbearing, because they have to help create a safe container too. Having a working agreement, like an industrial logic, we have one called Getting Clear, which there's posters all around showing that, but it's about creating that safe baseline. And I did that in my talk yesterday, because I think sometimes we have unrealistic expectations of how we're going to engage with one another. So setting that expectation, and then really having a 2-hour deep dive of what's going on. And the conversations that have come out of that have been unbelievable. When I first started doing it, I thought 2 hours feels like a really long time. It's
probably
never enough.
Yeah.
It's never enough time, because that's once right. People start really cracking open like an egg, because they're starting to feel safe.
It's emotional. Right?
It's super emotional, right? And you know, they're allowing themselves to maybe express things for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then following that conversation, we create together a collaborative roadmap about where the priorities, about where we want to change. And then coming back and measuring it in 3 to 6 months, just like you would measure anything else, like velocity or whatever you want. But then it's the conversation of what changed, why did these things change, what got better, what got worse. But it's really been a powerful way to allow folks to see that not only is it not fluff, it's producing great things for your organization and for retainment. Like, people who are on teams where they get to show up as themselves, they're going to stick around because they feel good about where they are and they feel seen and heard.
Yeah. So one of the analogies I use with the groups that I'll train and coach in, and with executives oftentimes too around a topic like this, is that some of the people that we're trying to help to have something like psychological safety, kind of like a caged animal.
Yeah.
Right? Or one that's been raised in captivity. That's probably a better one. And then when you go to release them to the wild and give them that freedom, they don't want to get it.
Yeah, that's right? Interesting. Oh, I love that analogy. That's very true. I think that when you first open that gate, people are super hesitant because there's no trust there, right? It's like they want to step a toe out and just make sure that they're not going to get eaten alive.
Right.
And it takes time. And I also think it's really powerful. I had another conversation with someone yesterday after my talk about, like, I only have a short period of time as a coach with people. How do I get them to trust me faster? And my response was, you don't. You tell them, honestly, this is going to take some time. I don't expect you to trust me right away. This is something that we have to be open to and be patient with. Like, it's not going to happen overnight. And you can actually, a lot of the work I do is around like nervous system response and physical body response to starting to relax into things. And you can see in people's body language, which might be harder on Zoom if people don't have cameras on, but like, people kind of sink into their seat a little bit more when you say, you know what, I don't want you to expect the sun, moon, and stars from this and feel like you have to give me everything right now, because the trust isn't there yet. Let's just let that organically show up, because it will. And people are like, okay, yeah, let's just give it some time.
So speaking of that time, I mean, this is the kind of thing, this is a mental shift.
Absolutely.
It's mentorship for leadership and for the people who are trying to employ it. So how do you go about that sort of, you know, you're starting to speak to this, that reassurance that, look, don't expect change overnight.
Right.
How do you talk to them?
I think it's really, it's just like anything else in agility, right? It's let's do things pragmatically. We don't have to be prescriptive in the way that we're working on things. But let's just it's all about communication for me. So let's continue to go back and have a conversation about how do we feel like things are evolving? Are you starting to feel more comfortable? Or if I notice something, and it probably sounds, this might sound like a response from a psychologist rather than a coach, but I think any coach will tell you.
Sometimes there's a little parallel.
Just a touch, is to say, you know, I've really noticed you've started to open up. Is there something that's changed? And that way, you're reflecting back to them that you're observing this happening. And you're getting data from them about why. Like, what has happened to allow you to do this? Sometimes it is just time. Sometimes it's your approach. But in either case, the thing that I love the most about this work is that it's all about evolving as humans together, collectively. Because at the end of the day, I think we've all recognized over the past couple of years that that's what really matters. And if you want to produce amazing things, then invest in your people.
And that's such an important concept, investment in the people themselves, because we've been preaching that for years, right? And
yeah.
For decades, and it seems like the organizations still are lacking that direct view into what's impacting their people.
Yeah.
And that ties into that psychological safety side of it, because there isn't enough emphasis, in my opinion, on making sure people understand they can fail.
Yep.
Which, of course, is the learning side.
Right.
You know, we're pushing this concept of, no, you can't learn.
Right.
You just have to do it. And you better do it right every time.
And quickly. Yep.
And that's just not how we can approach it anymore. If you think about the people that created plans for 2020,
mm-hmm.
their roadmaps and their plans and their budget, they had it all laid out, and then COVID hit and their plans failed. Why didn't they all get fired?
Right.
Because things
change. And I don't know how there's still such a resistance or denial of that reality. I actually met with a leader. I actually put this into my slide deck. It was a direct quote from this person that said, you know, I had asked them about work-life balance, and they said, you know, CPAs work 80 to 100 hours a week during tax season. I don't know what people are complaining about. And I just kind of looked at them and thought, it's going to be fun to work with you, because I think that there's this emphasis on this immense pressure. It's like a pressure cooker, right? Like, if you're at an executive level, and I've worked in leadership, it's a lot. And that pressure just gets pushed down, 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 down. They continue to push it down, and it's like a domino effect.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't realize that when you do that sort of thing, people either implode or explode, and it's very expensive to continue to have to hire other people to replace them, only to have to do that again and again and again.
Yeah, it's true. And I think one of the things that winds up frustrating me a lot with the organizations that I work with is that they do have some people internally who are supposed to be watching all this. They just don't listen to them.
No. Right. There's a difference between, we teach a psychological safety workshop at Industrial Logic, and there's interesting kind of wordplay that we have a discussion around about being meant, said, heard, and understood. Those are four very different things, and they can get very displaced. Like, you meant, said, heard, and understood. And we kind of have people walk through, like, what was it that you meant, but what was actually understood on the other side of it? And is someone, like, actively listening, or are they passively listening, where they're kind of checked out and they're not pretending that they want to seem like they're interested, but at the end of the day, they know as a leader or coach or whatever that might be, that they have a thing that they need to get done. But it needs to that listening has to be active, and it has to be genuine, because people see right through it.
Yep.
Whether it happens in that moment or down the line, it becomes clear that they weren't heard. And then what? Then they're feeling unsafe. Then they're feeling dismissed. And thus the whole process begins of, oh, should I even be here? Maybe I need to go somewhere else. And you get more turnover.
Yeah.
So
you know what's interesting to me is that I feel like we're pointing this back to a lot of leadership, that, hey, you need to embrace psychological safety more in your organization. But there's leadership that I've spoken to and that I've helped and coached. They need it. They need to feel psychologically
oh,
safe.
Oh, absolutely.
In their own
yes.
I think because mm-hmm. they don't feel that way, potentially, but they feel that it's important for other people to feel that way.
Yes, or they think that it's a nice to have and that it's not always something that you're going to get. And I just don't buy that. Like, I've worked as a leader in an organization where I felt extremely safe because I was allowed to show up as my true self. And I've also been a leader in spaces where things evolve to a point where it becomes all about the bottom line. And I felt like I couldn't speak up. And then I was forced to make a decision. Do I stay or do I go? And that's a really tough place to be. And we really need, you know, I always say that leadership is a skill, not a role. Like, it's a boss, that doesn't really mean anything anymore. It's really, if you're leading as a human, you need to be willing to understand that the human experience is super important to your job. It can't just be focusing on what's our next deliverable or what are our OKRs or whatever that might be. I'm not saying that stuff is important, but it has to be both. No.
It's so critical to make sure those aspects are all tied together.
Right.
Yeah. So if you were going to take one of these leaders aside and say, look, if you do X, Y, and Z, this will really help to unlock greater agility in your company. I'll mm-hmm. find this within the psychological safety mm-hmm. you know, arena. What might those things look like?
For me, I think it's the ability to measure. It's the ability to measure and have that open conversation with someone who is not only willing to listen, but really going to be able to crack open conversations that haven't been able to be had yet. Or if they've been had, they're had in pockets. I think,
which is scary in itself.
Super scary, right? I think that's one of those things. Also, really having a strong social contract or working agreement that does not live on your hard drive, but is actually in front of you and that you the team goes back to, so that there's a shared understanding of communication. I think 9 out of 10 times the problem is usually communication. So let's hold ourselves responsible for what we are showing up as and what we expect of one another. And that's gonna make things a lot more clear, because if someone breaks one of those, and they're not rules, it's more like invitations of how we want to behave. But if something happens where, you know, behavior goes sideways, maybe there's something in your social contract where it's like, once we start negative spinning, I did this with a team once where they said, our safe word is pineapple. So the second that we hear somebody negatively spinning, we're going to say pineapple. It worked like a charm. It was awesome. And the team continued to evolve behaviorally and started delivering a lot faster, because now there's not all this noise around that sort of thing. So for me, the two big things are being able to measure and allow your employees not only to see that you care about them having a safe space to work, but having a roadmap and data to go back to say, look at how far we've come, so that the proof is kind of in the pudding, right? Like, we've actually started to evolve. And then the second piece of that, of course, is having conversations about how you want to show up. For me, those are two really important things.
It's really powerful. It really is. And it's not enough organizations, and not just the organizations, but the individual is willing to the effort to apply those things.
Right.
So, really appreciate that. Well, thank you so much for spending the time.
Yes, thank you so much.
To meet with us and to talk to us about this. It's such a critical topic of psychological safety. Glad you're speaking about it here at the conference.
Thank you so much.
So if people want to hear more about it, they want to talk to you a little bit more, what's the best way for them to get?
So they can find me on LinkedIn at Tara Scott, Tara Leon Scott, L-Y-O-N, that's my middle name. And then you can find me under the same name on Instagram, and I am on Twitter. My handle is Tara Scott Rogue, R-O-G-U-E, just like X-Men. So that's where you can find me. And then, of course, Industrial Logic, if you go to the website, we're offering a psychological safety course that begins, a public course that begins in September, on September 19th. And it's really nice because people have split time on Mondays and Fridays where they're actually able to like get done work done in between, but actually experiment with their teams in the in-between times and reflect on it in the following weeks.
Yeah.
It's been really awesome. So we offer those every quarter.
Very nice. Well, thank you again.
Yes. Thank you so much, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Privilege to have you. And I'd like to thank everybody for tying in to this episode of Unlocking Agile, brought to you by Scrum Inc. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time.